Holy Spirit is with us. Over and over again, the Bible mentions the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. In fact, the Spirit of God is mentioned over 800 times in Scripture. In fact, the Spirit of God is mentioned in the very second verse of the entire Bible, Genesis 1:2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This word is translated as spirit in the Old Testament as the word ruach, literally means wind or a breath, but not a normal breath. It means a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. The Holy Spirit comes with power, with power. In the New Testament, the Greek word is translated as spirit is pneuma. It means wind, current of air, a blast of breath. In the Old Testament times, the Spirit of God would actually descend upon people. It would fall on them, and it would often also depart from people. And you can read about this very clearly, that the Spirit of God was upon King Saul, and it was also taken away from Saul. The same with King David. When David sinned against God with Bathsheba, he cried out to God. What did he cry out to God? Please don't take your spirit away from me. In the New Testament, we read that once Jesus left, he sent us his Holy Spirit. For those who are believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. In the New Testament, you see the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus in the form of a dove as he's being baptized. And you can see the Holy Spirit falling on the people of God on the day of Pentecost, empowering them to speak in other tongues and languages and do all sorts of miraculous works of wonder. You see the Holy Spirit empowering people with spiritual gifts to live a supernatural life in a natural world. And you see the Holy Spirit giving people the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So many people live a spiritless life when God wants you to live a spirit-filled and spirit-powered life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's turn today to John chapter 14 in the New Testament, the fourth gospel. Now, I don't know about all of you, but when I was growing up, whenever I heard about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, it kind of felt strange and foreign and weird to me. Yeah, I understood God the Father. That makes sense. We have a Heavenly Father. I understood that God the Father has a Son, Jesus Christ, who took the form of a man and died on the cross for my sins and was raised from the grave on the third day and ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. Then there was the Holy Spirit that seemed a little foreign or distant to me as a young man. I had trouble understanding. I didn't know what that was about. In fact, whenever I heard about a church that was way into the Holy Spirit, there was something different or even strange that was going on, in my opinion. And this is true in some churches. You know, there's people with tambourines, often where I went to a very charismatic church, and dancing around, and they were speaking in strange tongues. And it just seemed a little odd. Sometimes things got really strange in some churches. I remember going to a church in Langley as a teenager, and people were literally crawling around, and they were making animal sounds. I'm not joking. And it was really strange. Now, I'm not saying that was from God, because there can be other spirits at work if we don't discern between them what is the Spirit of God and what is not the Spirit of God. I think many people possibly in this room have had similar experiences, and which has led to my opinion of this pendulum swing, which Tim was already mentioning in the opening words in the service, where the pendulum swings when it comes to the Holy Spirit, and we have these ultra-charismatic ministries There are some churches where the pendulum swings too far over, you could say, and there's an overemphasis on the Holy Spirit. In other churches, there would be what we could call a gross underemphasis on the Holy Spirit. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, there are some that would actually overemphasize the Holy Spirit. Everything is a Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit this, Holy Spirit that, and something odd happens, like a Bible falls off the table during a prayer service, and everyone stops and says, oh, that's a sign from the Holy Spirit. And every sickness is because of bad spirits and this overemphasis, and it gets even worse where people can begin to hoax it, manufacture it, drum up attention, hype, excitement. And there's this overemphasis on everything, Holy Spirit. And that often comes at the expense that Jesus and the gospel takes a back seat. Do you know what Jesus says in the Bible is the main job of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. We find in John 16:14, Jesus says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The number one job of the Holy Spirit is to glorify and magnify Jesus Christ. It is not signs and miracles. It is not speaking in tongues. It is to glorify the Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ. The primary mission of the Holy Spirit is to glorify and reveal Jesus Christ to people. But what is probably a far more common problem is an underemphasis of the Holy Spirit. We understand God the Father, and then there's God the Son, Jesus, and then there's that other guy, the third wheel often, that we don't talk about, the kind of weird Cousin Eddie that nobody brings up in family meals. But we know there is a Trinity. There is a triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And he's not strange. He's not weird. He is God. So what I want to do in the next few weeks is get a biblical understanding of exactly who the Holy Spirit is and what role he plays in the life of believers. And we're going to start in John chapter 14. We're going to look at some of the words of Jesus today to build a foundational understanding. And I pray within the next few weeks that we would grow to know intimately the presence of God and his power through the Holy Spirit. Amen? John 14, verses 16 to 17 says, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You see, Jesus is comforting his disciples, telling them that he was going to be going away. And it's for their own good that he is doing this, that he's going away, because he will ask the Father and he would send them the helper. And verse 17 shows us the helper is the Holy Spirit. And he calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. And the scripture says, this really relates to me as a youth. The world cannot receive him, the Holy Spirit, because it neither sees him nor knows him, which is kind of where I was as a young man. I was skeptical. I didn't understand the Holy Spirit thing, the Holy Ghost thing. I didn't know him. I couldn't see him, and therefore was not aware of him. But Jesus goes on to say, but you know him, for he lives with you. And then here's his promise, and his promise is he will be in you. He will be in you. The helper, the Holy Spirit, you know him, and he will be in you and with you. Now, what is interesting to me, first of all, is the Holy Spirit is not an it. Sometimes people will say, well, it's leading me to do something. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as him. He is the third person of God in the Trinity. It is very literally God in spirit form in this world, also dwelling in believers. So when you read about the Holy Spirit in Scripture, you find that you can actually grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. You see, the Holy Spirit has emotions, can be grieved. The Bible said God's love is poured out into your hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I'm going to go away and send the Spirit to be with you. And he calls him a helper, a counselor in other translations. The word he uses, paraklete, which comes from the Greek root word parakletos. And it comes from two words, para, which means to come alongside of, like a paralegal to comes alongside of you. And he comes alongside the church. And kletos comes from the Greek word kaleo, which means called. Very literally, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is the one who's called to come alongside of, to come inside the believer who is in Jesus. Who is the paraclete? He is God. God, the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside you, lives in you. He is a counselor, your helper. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. John 14:26 says he's your advocate. He is your comforter. He is to be your friend. Now, when I think about a choice between having Jesus with me in the flesh or the Holy Spirit, my first thought is I'm going to say to take Jesus with me, right? Imagine if Jesus walking along with us in the physical form today on earth, how awesome and cool would that be? But Jesus is going to show us that there is actually something that is better for us than him in the flesh at this time. And it's amazing promise. And he says it this way in John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It's actually for your best for you, Jesus says. If I am not here, it's better that I go up into heaven to be with the Father instead of him being here on earth. So the Holy Spirit comes, who will dwell within you and will never leave you or forsake you. That means God's presence with us is everywhere we go. Everywhere. It's amazing. That means with every believer, at every moment, around the world, at the same time, God is with you through the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus was confined to a physical human form while on earth. He couldn't be with everyone at every moment. But the Holy Spirit can. And that is to our advantage. What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, this Sunday we'll look at what the Holy Spirit does within the believer. And next Sunday, I want to show you the power of the Holy Spirit to equip you to live a supernatural life in a very natural world. The Holy Spirit, he gives us spiritual gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, of prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, the gift of wisdom, the gift of speaking in other tongues. The Holy Spirit gives you spiritual fruit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, for to one is given the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one in one individually as he wills. Amen. Whenever the world is going crazy, as it is, you could say today, you can still have the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Amen. But when you look at Christians around the world, what you see so often, people who look no different from the rest of the world, They're still bound in prison by the same sins as other people. You see Christians whose prayer lives are basically flat. You see people who are afraid and struggling, gripped by fear, worry, addiction, anxiety, depression. We believe in Jesus, yet our lives have no real power. Why is that? Why is that? Because so many people today are living what I call a spirit-less life. When God wants His children to live a spirit-filled life, spirit-empowered, spirit-led, spirit-equipped, life of victory to please God the Father. So why is it so many people in the church are living spiritless life? There are many reasons, but I want to look at two reasons briefly. I think these are two of the top ones. The first one is this. Some people aren't even aware of the Holy Spirit. Many of you say, I've heard of the Holy Spirit, but I don't really know where He is and what He does. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 1 to 3, there's a really interesting story that relates to this. Scripture says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. These were believers in Jesus. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Obviously, these group of people were not at Pentecost when the Spirit came. They were baptized into the baptism of John the Baptist, if you read on. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. We heard about Jesus, we knew about John the Baptist, but who is the Holy Spirit? We don't know anything about Him. And there are many of us, of you, who would be in a very, very similar place. We have heard about Him, but that's about it. Or we may say, even who is the Holy Spirit? I don't understand anything about Him. There's a whole other world of power that is available to believers, the church, through God the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people just don't know about Him. Christians all over the world are going through life without this power, without this victory, without the strength of this Holy Spirit. There is a spiritual power from God in heaven that is greater than you could ever imagine. The very same Spirit, check this out, that raised Christ from the dead is available to every believer. Every believer. Romans 8, verses 9 to 11 says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S, referring to the Holy Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. How do people get the Holy Spirit? Easy, through repentance, as we read in Acts chapter 2. They asked, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's it. It is available to everybody. And through the Holy Spirit, we are spiritually born again. Then you must become aware of the Spirit who dwells in you. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, don't quench the Spirit. He will fill you, direct you, comfort you, guide you, counsel you, convict you, empower you. It's available to all believers. And so many people are living a spirit-less life because they are unaware of the power of the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. Why are so many people living a spirit-less life? They're simply unaware of the Spirit in their life. Number two, some people resist the Holy Spirit. Resist the Holy Spirit. And that would be many of us. The Holy Spirit has prompted you. If you are a believer, the Spirit has led you to do something, I believe, as a time in, as a believer in your life, he has led you to do something. And we've all done this at some time. We've kind of said, oh, I don't want to do that. You resist the Spirit. Many of us, we've been going about our day, and you're about to do something that's not right, that is sinful, and the Holy Spirit convicts you, says, don't do that, that's wrong. But we say, I want to do it. So you do it. You push the Holy Spirit away. Sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something good, give something, to bless someone, and you push that away saying, I don't want to do that. I just got this $50 from somebody. I want to spend it for my own needs instead of helping somebody. Even though the Spirit is prompting you, give it to him. Say no. You're resisting the Spirit. For some of us, we resisted the Holy Spirit so long that your heart has become hardened to the gentle promptings of the Spirit of God. Stephen in the New Testament, a very young and courageous and bold believer, was giving the Sanhedrin, a group of religious people, a good earful right before they stone him to death. This is what he says to them. We find it in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. He says, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Some of you may say, well, I'm not sure the Holy Spirit really prompts me or moves me or speaks to me. Could be that you've resisted the Holy Spirit so often that your heart has become hard. I have learned through failures to try very hard not to resist when I feel like the Holy Spirit is prompting me. Sometimes people ask me, how do you know if it's the Holy Spirit prompting you versus your own thoughts? How do you distinguish? Well, you can reason with it too, with this question. Well, because I'm selfish in nature, if there's something that benefits me, I tend to think that is probably my own thoughts. That's my flesh. The Bible calls it our flesh, and it's selfish. If there's something that doesn't benefit me and benefits others and brings glory to God, we can assume that is the Holy Spirit. If I'm being convicted not to do something that I really know is wrong, I know it's the Holy Spirit. If I'm feeling led to do something that's going to be a blessing to others, I assume it's the Holy Spirit. If it's not, I do something good. What's the worst that can happen? You did something good to someone. And so if it's a blessing to others, it's from the Holy Spirit. There's been countless times where I've been prompted to reach out to someone, call someone, visit someone. And when I have, that person says, Pastor, you called right at the right time. I needed someone to talk to about this or to pray with. And I've said to myself, wow, man, I am glad I did not resist the Holy Spirit leading me. And there have been many times, I shudder to think of it now, where the Spirit prompted me to do something and I haven't. And how many opportunities have I turned down for God to use me when I've resisted the Holy Spirit? There is far too many people who do this. The Holy Spirit leads you not to do something, and you're like, oh, I want to do that. And the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, and you say, I don't want to do that. You resist the Spirit, and you can actually grieve the Holy Spirit, and your heart can become hard. It's a little bit like my wife, Lisa. She loves me. She wants to kiss me all the time and give me hugs. She always wants me to tell her I love her. And eventually, I wear down. I give in to her. After some resistance, you know, I need to minister to her needs. I'm a good husband. Okay, I'm joking. But imagine if you would, that she's always doing that and I'm always resisting her. What's going to happen? After a while, she's not going to push herself on me anymore. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not push himself on you. He will not force his will upon you. If you resist him long enough, your heart may grow so hard that you don't recognize the promptings of the Spirit of God in your life. Why are so many people today living a spiritless life? Some are not aware of the Holy Spirit. Others have become so skilled at resisting the Holy Spirit and harden their hearts. I don't want to leave it at this. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about the internal working of the Holy Spirit as he ministers to us. And I want to look at three different ways the Spirit ministers to us. The first way is the Holy Spirit will comfort you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, God himself will comfort you. The Holy Spirit is called a comforter, and he will comfort you when you are hurting. John 14, 6, the King James translation, Paracletos, he says this way, and I, Jesus says, will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This is the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And what is amazing to me is that there are those who are going through something very difficult right now. You may be sitting in this room, and I can promise you that at this very moment, you will sense the Holy Spirit because he is here. He is here. And you will sense the presence of the Holy Spirit even though you are hurting. You can sense his comfort right now. He can comfort you with peace that goes beyond all human understanding. He is the comforting presence of God the Holy Spirit. You know, I've watched many church members go through difficult things in life. The death of their spouse. Getting diagnosed with an incurable life-threatening disease. Losing a child. Perhaps, if not the most difficult thing that I've had to do as a pastor, is go to a church member's house where her daughter had just passed away. I remember driving there with my wife. We were talking. We were saying, what do we say? What can we do in the face of such great loss and tragedy? And we were praying, Lord, help us. We don't know what to do. But church, when we knocked on that door and entered into that house, God was already there. The presence of the Holy Spirit was so powerfully present that there was such peace and comfort that we didn't need to do anything. Just to be present and pray and rejoice that God is good. It's amazing. And he is present there for every single person who is in Jesus Christ. And these people amaze me because they honestly say that they have peace, that they're not fearful, that they're not anxious, they're not depressed, because they have the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, with them throughout the whole time. It's an otherworldly peace in the middle of a trial. And God can do that through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can comfort you. Second, he counsels you. The second thing the Holy Spirit does is he counsels you. He is a counselor. He is your guide. You don't know what to do. He can direct you. Scripture says, John 16, 13, Jesus says, but he, the Spirit of truth, comes. He will guide you in all truth. You don't know what to do, so you just start praying. And the Holy Spirit can give you direction. He can give you wisdom. He can give you discernment. He will open up doors, and he will close doors. You can God can work your lives through the work in your lives through the constant presence of the Spirit. And those who are aware of the Spirit's presence and voice, you can go through a day knowing that the Spirit is with you. He speaks to you. Oh, reach out to that person. Pray for that person right now. Make this decision. Don't do that. Don't say that to that person. That would not please God. Say this instead. Hold your tongue. It's a constant awareness of the Spirit of God guiding you. It's a Spirit-filled life. Do you live that way in your daily life, knowing that the Spirit is with you? It's not walking by sight. It's walking by faith that the Holy Spirit is with you and guiding you. He is your counselor. I love this picture in Isaiah chapter 30, 21, where it says this, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." Isn't that awesome, church? The voice of the Spirit, He will not only comfort you, He will counsel you, He will guide you, He will lead you. You just need to be listening and asking and walking in faith. Third, He will convict you. The third thing the Spirit does is He convicts you. John 16:8, Jesus says, "When He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." In fact, even today, there are those of you who are being convicted by the Spirit of God. Perhaps this very moment, there may be something in your life that shouldn't be there. And all of a sudden, you're feeling a sense today that, hey, I shouldn't be doing these things anymore. I haven't even mentioned what it is, but you're convicted. Why? That is the presence of the Holy Spirit convicting you. There are others of you that are being drawn to God right now, and you don't know why. Maybe you're not even a church person. You're not a Bible guy. But you're just being drawn to God right now. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you and convicting you of your need for God in your life. Sometimes people will ask, "Pastor, who was the person that God used the most to draw you towards Jesus Christ?" And I say every time, that person that God used the most, without question, is a person of the Holy Spirit. Because there was no physical person witnessing to me. There was no physical person opening the Scriptures to me. There was a person, the Holy Spirit, convicting me of my sin. Because I was living in my sin day after day, weekend after week. I was living to party on the weekends. And man, I felt guilty when God put His finger on me by the power of the Holy Spirit. I needed forgiveness. And I felt this sincere need of cleansing. And I felt drawn supernaturally to seek God, to surrender my life into His hands. I felt drawn to open the Bible, which I had never felt so powerfully to do before in my life. And I read it, and the Holy Spirit helped me to understand it. And I was drawn to the point of surrendering my life to God completely, without holding a single area of my life back. I said, "It's all yours, God." And the beautiful thing is, there are those here today, and you're under this conviction. You're being drawn to God. You don't know why. It's because the Holy Spirit is here, and you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. You can surrender to Him, or you can keep fighting Him off. But let me warn you, don't fight Him for too long, because your heart, it will grow hard. And when it does, you won't hear that gentle voice anymore, that loving voice, that wooing voice of the Spirit of God who would draw you to Jesus Christ and salvation and eternal life. God the Father loves you so much, He sent His Son Jesus, who lived a sinless life, yet carried our sins to the cross, paid the price by His blood and death. And on the third day, He rose again so you could know Him, be empowered by Him through His Holy Spirit to live a new life that is filled with joy, happiness, fulfillment, a life that honors and pleases and glorifies God. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would do a work that goes beyond any words of explanation that I have. That your Holy Spirit would be present. And he is present right now. We felt him throughout this service. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. We acknowledge you. We ask, Spirit, do your work in our hearts that only you could do. As you're praying today, some of you, you're going to recognize right now that you are doing life pretty much apart from the Spirit of God. You may be a believer in Jesus. You go to church. You know this spiritual stuff, but you look at your life and say, I don't see spiritual power. I don't see victory. I don't see the fruit of the Spirit. I believe in that stuff, but I don't see it. And you say, I want a Spirit-filled life. If that's you today, as a sign before God, I just ask you to raise your hand. If that's you today, be bold, raise your hand.